Welcome to Secular Yakking.
It's like blogging out loud, a show where we cover current events, politics, and anything secular to yak about.
Want to join the conversation? Lines are open. 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-YAKK. Welcome back, Yakkers. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Well, you're not going to talk to me. Fine, whatever.
I'm talking.
All right. So, we got an update from Jeff Stilwell. So we're going to start with that.
Hi, Robert. This is Jeff Stilwell on the Lightning March for Humanity. I'm deep, calling you from deep in Montana. It's been quite a time. I'm almost at the 2/3 mark, closing in on 500 miles. The country here is some of the most beautiful country I've ever seen in my life, Missoula, and that area, those environs. The people here are very, very friendly. And what I appreciate most is that so many resonate so readily with what I'm saying, particularly this hope for a world without war and how we could go about achieving something like that, you know, in the spirit of the Lightning March. Putting one foot after another, until we get to that place. Physically, I'm fine. I do have an injury today, which the logistics team forced me to rest before it becomes something serious. It's my left foot, the sole. And I did. I spent the day resting very quietly, and I'm ready and eager to get back on the trail tomorrow. And they also tell me that because the second half of this march is with the temperatures dropping to more manageable levels, they've been upping my daily routes to like 24 miles. That's what I'm doing these days, 24, 25 miles a day. So the second half of the Lightning March is being accomplished far sooner. So they tell me I'll be at Old Faithful in 12 days, which is very, very exciting, on the 29th. And so that's what's happening on the Lightning March for Humanity. I'll talk with you soon.
So that's really cool. I'm so glad it cooled down for him over there.
Yeah, that one real hot stretch was pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean, He had to cut himself down to almost half his daily route.
Yeah, and with the temperatures getting, you know, a lot more tolerable, he's able to make up the time, and he's actually sticking even closer to what his original goal was because of it.
Right. So he is at almost 500 miles, which is 3/4 of the way there.
Yeah, that's a big stretch.
Yeah, and that injury he was talking about, he had a heat blister on his foot, and it
ruptured. Yeah.
So yeah, he's got a picture on his website with duct tape, it looks like, maybe. I don't know.
Duct tape's the cure for everything.
Well, hopefully not. That would be kind of painful. But yeah, it's probably some sort of moleskin or something like that on there.
Well, you know, you just walked 500 miles, so that's actually pretty good to only have that.
Well, yeah, that's his biggest injury so far, so I think he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, he's right, it is gorgeous country, and to be able to walk it means you see it, you know, in a slow motion, I guess you could say, versus just whizzing by in a car. You know, it's a huge difference looking at the world like that.
Yeah, and each stop he has, I think he's had music or people to talk to every single night, so been pretty nice over there, apparently.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, we'll have the link to his march in the show notes, so you guys can go check it out and read his blog. He's got almost a daily post.
Yes, I believe he does.
Yeah. But this episode, we decided to call This Is Knucking Futs.
It's very touchy.
Because this is a PG-13 show.
And I'd like to actually keep it that way.
Yeah. So our first story is called Pay to Pray. The Greater Moriah Primitive Baptist Church has sent a letter to a single mother with a notice of payment due. Candace Peterson has been attending the church for 6 months when the notice came in. The church is charging her $50 a month, $250 annually, and $150 Mount Moriah day fee. That works out to about $1,000 a year.
That is crazy. Okay, I have to interrupt you, though. What is a primitive Baptist church?
I'm not real sure. Maybe somebody out there can tell us that. Do they, you know, worship with sticks and stones?
Well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, primitive Baptist church, what's their take on that?
I honestly don't know. It's
but
really
they're
weird.
Charging her $50 a month.
Right. So, and it's not like they're going to kick her out. Okay. They just are not, would not allow her to have voting rights.
Right.
Which is, a lot of organizations do that. But they sent her a notice saying you owe us this much.
Well, that was the other thing. But, okay, so it's $50 a month plus the $250 a year?
Yeah, $250 annual fee.
That's just...
Plus you have to pay for the Mount Moriah day fee, whatever that is.
I don't know. I guess to me that just sounds like not only a crazy amount, but the fact that she's just going to church. She's going to, you know, voluntarily going to a community meeting, basically. And they have fees like that. That's like, you know, adding another utility bill to the list of bills you already pay.
Right. Well, I think what's happening is their membership is dropping. All churches' membership is dropping. Okay. And they're getting a little more desperate.
Well, that's not going to help. They're going to chase them away.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, you know, they want to have that so that they can run the church. But if you can't run the church off of donations alone, then you have a problem.
Well, it just proves the point, you know, churches are business.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. It's another business.
Yeah.
But not only that, children are required to pay a $5 a month fee as well.
That's crazy.
And they don't get voting rights for $5 a month.
Well, and they know how many children you're bringing per family.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, here's the sad part. They know when you're showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But she was told that these fees were to help pay off the church's debt.
Wow.
So the church is in debt.
Well, so we're in debt. You have to bail us out.
Right. And when the church was contacted at the time of the writing, they had no comment on what was going on.
Of course they didn't. Yeah. They never do.
But we have more. The Satanic Temple is being forced to unveil a new statue of Baphomet in secret. After Christian terrorists threatened to, quote, blow it up real good.
Oh my gosh.
Statue was originally intended to sit alongside the Oklahoma Ten Commandments monument, but that monument was ordered removed by the courts last month. I think we talked about that.
Right.
The Detroit chapter had set a date for unveiling of July 25th, but thanks to the death threats from Christians, the event has to be held in private at an undisclosed location.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, they had some awesome threats. Let's burn the statue down. That's one. Better be safe. The building might fall down. LOL. This is complete
BS.
I can't wait until we take this bitch down and F it up. F. Satan.
Wow, and they're supposed to be the good, moral Christians. Are you kidding
me?
Yeah,
they actually use the whole F word, not just F.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
PG-13, I can't do it.
No, I just... we can if we choose to go there. I just don't see the need for it. But besides, I mean, they're constantly getting on free thinkers, you know, people who don't believe in a deity, and how we have no morals or, you know, no moral compass of any kind. And yet, time and time again, we are seeing horrible comments made like this.
Right. Yeah, but I think my favorite quote is this one. I bet it would blow up real good. Come on, gosh. Seriously.
I think the IQ's just dropped on that one.
And here's the thing about that. I saw a video earlier this week between one of the Detroit Satanic Temple representatives and this pastor. And even after she explained that they are a non-theistic organization, he's like, but you're still worshiping the devil. No, we're not worshiping the devil. We're non-theistic.
Well, that's the thing. What is with everyone thinking because, you know, we're non-theistic, they still think we believe in a devil or something.
Right. I mean, it's kind of hard to, if you don't believe in God, and certainly not the Christian God, there's no way you can believe in the devil. But that's, I mean, besides the point, there's no tolerance.
It's a whole other conversation.
Right, there's no tolerance of any other point of view here.
Exactly, and you see that so many times over is how they just cannot accept the fact that someone may have a different opinion and be okay with that. Yes, they don't agree with it, fine, but you don't have to go there.
Right. Well, Satanic Temple, after the unveiling, plans to move it to the Arkansas State House beside a planned Ten Commandments monument there.
Ah.
And with that, we're going to take a very, very short break.
The Humanists of North Puget Sound is proud to welcome Shelley Siegel to Everett's own Fireball Community Coffee House.
Shelley is a global presence in the atheist movement and a genre-defying singer-songwriter. An atheist album brought her into the spotlight, and now she's coming to Everett, Washington.
Come enjoy her melodic vocals, heartfelt passion, and thought-provoking lyrics on August 17th at the Firewheel Community Coffee House, 2727 Colby Avenue in Everett, Washington at 7 p.m. Go to meetup.com/humanistmps for more info.
What happened to all the background noises they told me I...
All right, welcome back, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the break. I know I did.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
But moving on with the show, Christian opponents object to Mormon temple in Indiana.
Okay.
In Carmel, Indiana, Tri-Grace Ministries says they will protest Indiana's first regional Mormon temple in Carmel. Opponents say that they will set up a tent across the street to declare what they think is the truth.
So it's not a quote-unquote Christian church going up there.
It's not Christian enough for them.
Right, so we can't have that.
Tri-Grace Ministry founders Chris Thompson said, in a sense, we believe that they are not telling people the truth. Okay. They're not following what Jesus taught. It concerns us that Christians are being deceived by their message.
Wow, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So we've got Christians telling other Christians they're not Christians.
I know. I think that's really funny how they just are thinking they're so diverse and so different from each other.
It's really crazy. I don't know. That's part of why this show's called Knucking Futs. The group says it plans to hold an event to depict the multiple wives of Mormonism's founder, Joseph Smith, as the Mormon temple holds its open house tours to the public.
So they're pulling the multiple wives card out. Yeah. And yet they have so many little skeletons in their closets.
Have they read the Bible?
Well, that was kind of what I was thinking.
Do we have to talk about Solomon?
I mean,
the guy had, what, 700 wives or 300 wives and 700, I don't know, concubines and wives.
It's like a little cat fight, you know, kind of what it sounds like.
And besides the point, the LDS has said since the late 1800s that polygamy is not allowed.
Right. Yeah, so, they don't actually go around promoting it.
Seriously, that's insane.
But yeah, I find this whole story kind of silly, actually.
Yeah, okay, so let's move on to something that's actually Knucking futz. April Yates was taken into a Myrtle Beach, South Carolina jail last week when she created a disturbance and refused to pay the bill at a local restaurant. Okay. According to the management, Bennett's Calabash, Yates had been there for over 4 hours and started a disturbance with other diners.
4 hours?
4 hours.
At now, a restaurant? Okay.
I like seafood because this is in South Carolina, so they're probably going to have popcorn shrimp, which I do love.
Yeah, so.
I could sit there and eat it for hours,
blah,
right?
Blah, blah.
So, but I don't know. 4 hours, that's a bit much.
That's insane.
Okay. Employees asked her to pay her bill and leave, at which point Yates said she did not have to pay the bill. So they asked her, well, who's paying the bill? Guess what she said?
Something very funny.
She said, Jesus.
Okay, so I'm guessing she's been sitting there for 4 hours. She's contemplating, hey, I don't have enough money to pay this bill. What can I do? That's why it took 4 hours, for her to come up with a plan.
No,
That's my opinion.
I don't think so. No.
You think she generally planned on saying that from the get-go?
No, I think it just came out. She's just pissed off right now, right?
That's just...
And she doesn't want to pay her bill because she's getting kicked out of a place she wants to stay in. Right?
Yeah.
And so she's pissed off. She says, well, Jesus will just pay my bill. Because, you know, he's paid everything else. Sadly, this is not an isolated incident.
Really?
Yeah. In October 2014, Christy Raines told the staff of a restaurant in Lawton, Oklahoma, that her husband would take care of the bill.
Uh-huh.
When the staff asked her who her husband was, she said...
Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
Of course.
When pressed about the relationship, she added, Jesus will be back soon, and he will be able to walk in and produce U.S. currency to pay the bill.
My goodness. You know, not to be mean saying things about other people, but we used to have insane institutes, because, I'm sorry, some of this is just crazy. It's like I should be able to, when the check comes, say, yeah, I got this. You know, the Cat in the Hat will be back in just a minute. Just hang on.
The Cat in the Hat.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Make sure the Flying Spaghetti Monster pays your Italian restaurant bill.
His
newly appendages will take care of you.
Yes, because this is the food of the gods.
Yeah, oddly enough, thankfully, we have secular laws, and they were both charged with defrauding a restaurant.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
And there you go. We have the Potter Award for this week.
Excellent.
So this one's actually really cool. This guy's... He's talking about knucking futz. This guy takes the cake, I think.
Probably.
Seriously.
They usually fit the bill nicely.
Yeah. Patrick Rushing, the mayor of Airway Heights, Washington, had some very interesting things to say about our first lady and the president.
Of course. It's a second one for Washington again.
Yeah, and our third one total.
Well, I was going to say second in a row, three total.
Wonderfully. Think about it. East side of Washington.
I
said it before.
If you live here in Western Washington, Eastern Washington is so separate from Western Washington. They're like two different worlds.
It's the south of the west.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah.
But in a Facebook conversation with a friend, he said, and this is a quote, Gorilla Face Michelle can't disagree with that. And that woman is not attractive to... That woman is not attractive except to Monkey Man Barack. Check out them ears, LOL.
Wow.
So, the city council passed a resolution calling for his resignation. He stated that he will not resign, calling it a playful back and forth that my friends and I do.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so his friends play around with racist terms.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, no big deal. Bat him around a bit.
Yeah, that's fine. I made a mistake. I owned up to my mistake. If I do resign, that's admitting I'm racist.
Oh,
and I'm not.
Are you kidding me?
So,
okay, he is not sorry, first of all. He's just sorry that he got caught, I guess you could say.
Right.
Taken.
Yeah, because he took those off of Facebook after he got caught.
Yeah, he said before he thought.
Right, and it doesn't matter if he's racist or not. Those kind of comments are held to be racist in common practice. And the citizens, and certainly the council, see it as such.
Well, I was going to say, the fact that he even mentions that by admitting it, it's saying that I'm a racist. He already knows.
He knows
that
what
he's... Right, he knows what he did. He knows that was wrong. Or, okay, no, not necessarily that it was wrong, but he knows what it meant.
Right, but, that's really not enough to make the Potter Award.
Okay, more.
Okay. Sadly, it's not the only time he said derogatory things about the president. The Inlander, a local paper, found 75 posts that show a long history of this type of behavior.
That does not surprise me a bit.
So, some of his more notable posts are, reposting a picture of Michelle holding a sign saying, "If you think me and my husband should hang for treason, please like and share."
Wow. I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Repeatedly compared Obama to Hitler and called the ACA Hitler Care.
I've heard that.
Called Obama a member of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, I was going to say, get it right.
Reposted a joke about someone throwing Michelle and Oprah being thrown from a plane to make 256 million people happy.
This guy's a winner.
Oh, he's a winner. Yeah.
Gosh.
But
I was just going to say before you said that, because he has this past history, these are his colors.
Yeah, you would think the way he treats the president and first lady is enough to get you on the Potter Award. Technically, yes.
But there's always more.
There's always more.
We'll double your offer.
Yeah, we'll triple it
well,
this time.
Well, in this case, triple.
But the way he treats the citizens of his city is what really put him over the top on this one. By far, the worst thing I think he posted was something he seems to be quite proud of. And I'm going to quote directly from his page. "Today, I had to run into Sam's Club. As I approached the entrance, I noticed a driver looking for a parking space. I flagged the driver and pointed out to a parking space in the handicapped area. Driver looked puzzled, rolled down the window, and said, 'I'm not handicapped.' Well, my face was red. 'Oh, sorry about that,' I said. 'I saw your Obama sticker and just presumed.' She gave me the finger and called me some nasty names."
Holy, he actually went there?
Oh. I don't know if this actually happened or if this is just some weird fake anecdote he decided would be funny to put up.
I wonder, because that seems pretty out there. But then again, you can't tell with this guy.
Yeah. I mean, Airway Heights is a town of about 6,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Close to
Airway Heights is also got some decent shopping for Spokane and the cities surrounding it.
Right, right.
So it's going to be a lot of people. So this may not have been his citizen, so he doesn't care. It's
right. But anyone to even make up that comment is pretty ridiculous.
Right. I mean, to call, basically he's calling liberals handicapped.
I know that, but why can't someone have a different opinion and you don't have to get nasty? That's like saying, because I don't agree with, say, some theist, you know, because they love their God and go to church and all that, I'm not going to call them nasty names for it. So I just don't understand why do... Okay, I guess it's just me, but I don't see why you need to be so nasty. I just don't.
I agree. I mean,
just because someone has a different opinion, who cares? Get over it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And this guy is the epitome of the Mr. Potter Award right here. This is part of the reason we made this award. It's to highlight guys like this, because in a town of 6,000 people, no one's really going to know about it.
No, that's very true.
Something like this is going to make the Facebook rounds.
Yeah.
And then in a couple of days, it's going to go away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what you were saying actually leads into something that, well, let me preface this. Normally, we would end the show right here, because the Potter Award is the last segment.
Usually, yes.
Usually. But something happened this weekend that I could not leave alone. Right?
Just recently, right?
Yeah, just Friday.
Yeah.
So, many of you, I'm sure, are aware of an ABC show called What Would You Do? Where John Quinones sets people up, actors, in situations that aren't normally what you would see, sometimes they would be what you would see, to see what the general public reaction is.
Right, to see, you know, how they would naturally behave.
Right.
Like a science experiment.
And normally I'm okay with it. Some of it's a little over the top. Some of it's, you know, absolutely the wrong stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened on Friday night's show was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's gotten quite a few people up in arms, I think.
So I'm going to play for you the promo commercial for that.
And then we'll discuss it.
Bow your heads.
God is great.
A family praying to God.
Hey, come on, guys. Can you save the praying for church, please?
An atheist praying they would stop.
It just makes me extremely uncomfortable.
And then...
Shut up so they can pray.
All hell breaks loose.
Look, you're going to mess with the wrong person.
So, that's just the promo for it.
Right.
Now, not wanting to comment on something that I haven't seen, I went and watched it.
Yes.
And to tell the truth, I was somewhat disgusted.
Yeah, I'm really PO'd about how they, you know, show an atheist. I'm sorry. Who the heck acts like that? I don't know any atheist, first of all, who would... Because it starts off with her being real aggressive towards a family that's praying before they eat in a restaurant. I mean, I guess for myself, I couldn't imagine, you know, yelling over at someone's table saying, "Hey, stop that. I don't like that.
I mean, it, they're praying. That's their private time.
You're out in public. What difference does it make?
And they have the absolute right to pray in public.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. They have a right. There's no reason to stop them.
Okay, so I know a lot of atheists. I know, right? And not a single one of them that I know of would ever, in any situation, do that.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right. I mean, it's insane.
No, it just, and then they toned it down for the next family. She was supposed to be a little more, like, apologetic asking them to curtail it, but it's still, none of it played right to me.
Right, and here's the thing. This was in Texas, so, yeah.
I have things to say, but I won't.
Okay, but I'm assuming, had there been an atheist in the restaurant as well, they would have told that woman not to do that.
Right.
I know I would have.
Because
that's just absolutely wrong.
No, and it's very rude. And, you know, but the one Christian couple there, she yelled at her and told her to shut up.
Right.
I mean, that, on the other hand, isn't the way to handle it either.
The way,
and then the guy threatened her.
Yeah, the guy threatened her, pretty much, turned around and, you know, was very, very angry.
Yes, but he was.
I don't want to completely spoil it, but the last couple that showed up, that actually turned out fairly well.
Yes.
So they had a discussion
it
about...
It was better.
Yeah, had a discussion about tolerance and all this other stuff. So that one actually worked out. But I think they did it wrong. I think what would you do? Set up the scenario absolutely wrong.
Yeah, they definitely could have set that up in a different
way. I think had they set it up to where you had a family praying, and then say a teenager was saying, I don't want to pray.
And they were forcing them.
And they were forcing them. That's different.
That would have made a better story, I think.
Or if say, there was one person who wanted to pray, and then the family was like, no, we don't want to pray.
Right.
So then we got something totally different.
That's also more realistic.
Right, that's
more
realistic.
Because what they did was not realistic in any way.
No.
And you have so many cases where you have, say, a religious family, and there's, say, the teen or one particular person who usually, it's always a child, you know, at least a minor, who doesn't want to follow with that, but they're forced to because, you know, they're a minor, and then you have parents who make them. So that would have made a lot more sense to me to run a story in that way and seeing how, you know, the outside people would have affected with that.
Right. I think that would have been a lot more realistic and probably gotten a lot more
positive.
Positive, negative, doesn't matter. It would have gotten actual, what I feel are true reactions.
Right.
But what they did with what the situation they set up was feed into this Christian persecution complex.
Yeah, I got that so much, like a neon sign. It was them being persecuted again and the evil baby-eating atheist attacking.
I mean, it's not like she had a baby on her plate. She was at a restaurant. She can't eat babies in a restaurant. Sorry, I've tried.
But yes, no, I mean, it was very much set up like that, in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, that was just ridiculous. And I did send a letter to ABC.
Of course you did.
Yeah, telling them. And I'm not the only one.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of people out there.
If you go on ABC's Facebook feed, they've got this featured, and there are over 1,000, as of last night, there are over 1,000 comments. And I scrolled through a great deal of them, right? Mm-hmm. Almost every one of them is an atheist, telling them how wrong ABC was about it.
Yeah, that's...
I did not see a single Christian comment saying, yes, I went through this.
Yeah, that's painting a very unrealistic light on, and it's just feeding into that whole atheist is a bad word stereotype again.
Right. So if anybody from ABC is listening,
good luck with that.
That's funny. You need to know that was just a wrong scenario. It was poorly done and just the worst possible stereotype you can make of an atheist.
Yes, that could have been much more effective handled in a more realistic setting, I think.
Next time, get out of Texas and consult an atheist about what atheists actually do.
Or they could still stay in Texas, because I still believe if I wrote it, I would totally do the whole, you know, you have a family and someone within the family doesn't want to be forced to do that. You
all
know,
right,
and
fine,
took it back
Texas.
And then, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But
you know, I get it.
It seems that, you know, What Would You Do only has things in the Northeast and the South.
Yeah.
It's very rare they make it out to, you know, liberal land.
Oh, they'll never come to Western Washington.
Yeah,
we're too all over the place.
Yeah, but whatever. I stopped watching the show a couple years ago because it just became ridiculous.
Well, we don't watch television.
That's true.
Let alone a reality show. Yeah. So that answers that question.
All right. Well, that's all the yakking we have for you today. Join us again next week when we resume the assault against your eardrums. And if you can't get enough of us, check out our Twitter and Facebook. If you like what you hear, drop on over to iTunes and leave us a coveted 5-star review.
Secular Yakking is sponsored by the Humanists of North Puget Sound.
The views expressed are those of the host and not those of HMPS or its board.
All audio for this episode was used under the Creative Commons license.
And remember, the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion.